Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Later on in the program, we'll open up the phone lines and talk about some of the events of the past 24 hours. We'll also talk about the condition of many Floridians, those who are unemployed. We'll talk about that first in the first part of today's program. Before we get there, though, five listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, most of it devoted to the discussion about the protests against the killing of George Floyd. Here's what several listeners had to say.
Hopefully what we're witnessing here is the demise of the Trump administration. It's time for this ugliness to end and for those evil people to get out of the White House. Thanks.
This is Jack from Palm Harbor calling. There is nothing wrong with peaceful demonstrations, but burning and looting has the opposite effect on making any changes. In fact, history has proved to have helped put Reagan, Nixon, and may likely put Trump back in office. So much for making progress. Jack in Palm Harbor.
All I have to say is that we have enough problems as it is with all the things that are going on right now. But to spread a lot of hate, especially to this president, and give him no respect, like every other president, there should be some respect instead of talking all this negative stuff, these things that are going on that make it worse and create even more problems. Instead of, you know, trying to talk positive about things, it's all negative about this person who's running our country, this president, and everybody that's up there, and all the people that are on the opposite side are, you know, they don't do anything wrong, or everything is just, you know, it should be it's just ridiculous. This is why we have so many problems, is because you people put this on radio stations with all this troubles that we have, all these problems. It's ridiculous.
Hi, this is Julia, and I wanted to talk a little bit about all of the disturbances and things that are going on and what I think might be a potential way forward, or a really good way forward. Solution number one would be more peace, more justice. Solution number two, teach peace at every level of education in every school. Solution number three, get the violence out of all types of media. Solution number four, include a lot more peace in all types of media, because action follows thought. If we want better actions, we need to think better thoughts. Solution number five, more justice, more peace.
Well, those comments came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. It's still impossible to know how many people have failed to be able to sign up for unemployment here in the state of Florida. We know the numbers of unemployed people are in the hundreds of thousands, or maybe even a million. About 400,000 people have been turned down by the state for unemployment benefits. It's a huge problem, and it's been set aside in the last few weeks, and especially in the last few days, because more news has come out about coronavirus, and George Floyd was killed more than a week ago. That sucked the air out of the room. But the unemployed people are still having problems. And today I spoke with one of those people, Stanley O'Neill, who's been having trouble having been laid off in mid-March. He's been out of work that many weeks. I spoke with Stanley O'Neill earlier today. Stanley O'Neill, welcome back to WMNF. So, you've been fighting to get your unemployment benefits for weeks. How long have you been fighting to get your benefits, both your state and your federal?
Yes, Rob. So, I was, in late March, I received a furlough notice from my employer, and the effective date, April 3rd, I logged into the State of Florida Department of Economic Opportunity, DEO, website April 3rd and started applying. I then eventually filled out a paper form. So April 3rd is really when I began in earnest.
And that was that was 2 months ago.
That was 2 months ago.
All right.
It was. And then after about a month, a link appeared on the state site to apply for the FPUC, which is the Federal Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, and that enables you to receive $600 weekly. The Florida benefit is up to $275 weekly. I will say that as of today, I did receive a direct deposit from the state of Florida for, it looks like 4 weeks. Oddly enough, they're not paying me the maximum benefit, but they're paying me $257. So it looks like I've received 4 weeks worth of unemployment from the state of Florida.
And just to get this straight, too, you've been unemployed for 10 weeks, so you've gotten 4 weeks' pay from the state of Florida.
Correct.
Okay. And what about your federal money?
Okay, so the federal money, about 4 weeks ago, I received a $600 check, and that came fairly quickly after applying for the federal money, especially compared to the state. So I received that on a couple of occasions, but then 7 days after my last check, I was looking in my bank account waiting for a check to show up, and it didn't show up. And so the last federal check I received one on the 12th, one on the 19th, and so now it's been 14 days since I've received a federal check.
So for a total of how many federal checks for 10 weeks of being unemployed?
Two.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just describe for us how frustrating it's been. How would you rate the state's response to your unemployment and the federal government's response to your unemployment?
Okay. So on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being the easiest and 5 being the most difficult, I would absolutely give it a 5 due to the fact that not only is the website very difficult to navigate, the most frustrating thing is when you try to call to get assistance through DEO. You go through a front-end IVR, which is the interactive voice response that many of us know, hit 1 for this, 2 for that. And most options lead you to a dead end and do not give you the ability to go back to the home page. When you do get to an option to speak to a representative, it says that, you know, you need to speak to a representative. And then out of all of my calls, almost 90% of the time, I then get a recording that all agents are busy. The callback option is not available. Please call again at another time. And for a while, I was calling daily for probably 3 weeks at least. Total, I have spoke to 6 representatives. During those 6 occasions, 4 times they could not access Connect because Connect was down. 2 occasions when I did speak to a representative, they were not well trained enough to be able to determine what the problem was with my account and said I needed to speak to a claims specialist. They would give me another telephone number to call. The first time I called it, and then I discovered it actually leads back to the same 800-204-2418, which is the DEO phone number that is so hard to get through to an agent.
Hmm.
The last time that a person told me to speak to a claim, that I need to speak to a claims representative and to call a separate number, I had that agent sit, listen to me. I had the speakerphone on, and then I used my cell phone to dial, and I had her walk through the prompts and listen, and I told her that it was going to route me right back to her department, and it did. So then she said she would put a note in my file. I told her, well, that wouldn't help me, and, you know, how would anybody see the note? And she said, well, they wouldn't unless they specifically looked at your file. I asked her if there was a supervisor that could help, and she said, well, let me see. And I was on hold for quite a while, and then she came back and said she had forwarded my contact information to a supervisor. That was June 1st. I haven't heard back from them since, because the Florida DEO says they have no control over the federal money. I was inquiring at that time on June 1st, I was inquiring about my state money, which I hadn't received yet, and why had I stopped receiving the federal money.
Stanley, it sounds very frustrating, and we're almost out of time too, but, you know, if let's say that you owed a bill of $6,000 to name your company, the electric company or the bank, or you owed a bill to the state of Florida for your taxes, and you paid $1,200 instead of the $6,000. How do you think that entity, whether it's the cable company, the bank, or the state of Florida, or any other big organization or big company or big government, how do you think they would treat you if you refrained from paying the other $4,800?
Well, Rob, I'm sure they would first terminate my services and then probably turn me over to a collection agency, which would then severely impact my credit.
And what power do you have as an individual? What power do you have to fight back against a state government and a federal system that's not honoring what they have promised to pay you in an emergency like this? What way do you fight back?
Well, I feel powerless, you know, and not just in this situation. You know, I know with the current events that have happened recently, with what's going on in our country, with police and whatnot, people feel powerless in so many ways, and it, I think it's just representative of what's going on in our country, where the people themselves have very little power.
Stanley, I'm sorry to say I'm out of time, but just in the last 30 seconds or so that we have, is there anything else you'd like to point out about your situation?
Well, I would like to say CareerSource Florida, which has several offices in the Tampa Bay area, they are more knowledgeable than the people that work at DEO. I do believe a big problem with DEO is they have a lot of employees new that they brought in, as well as from other agencies that received a 3-day crash course. And those typically are probably the people, you know, whenever you reach an agent at DEO, that's probably who most people speak with. So that 3-day training they had is not sufficient for them to answer questions. And I would certainly say that, you know, I've reached out to Betty Castor and Janet Cruz, Kathy Castor and Janet Cruz. Their offices have been very polite and quick to get back with me, though they have not been able to provide a lot of assistance. But I would encourage everyone to vote. And, you know, pay attention to people that really care and that, you know, try to make changes and vote for those individuals.
Stanley O'Neill, thanks. I'm glad you got some partial good news, and the rest is still, you're still waiting for it.
I am, Rob, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to speak with me and, you know, the service you do for our community.
Stanley O'Neill, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on WMNF.
You're welcome.
That's Stanley O'Neill, who works in the hotel industry. He's been laid off since March, and he's been waiting to collect unemployment and also his federal unemployment compensation. As you heard, he's been partially paid, but certainly not for all 10 weeks that he is eligible, since he first filed in early April. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. There is some news on that score. And looking at the Orlando Sentinel website, they say that about 2 months after federal pandemic aid under the CARES Act was signed into law, Florida is now ready to administer aid to those who were unemployed prior to the coronavirus-related layoffs. Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation, or PEUC. That's the federal program that provides up to 13 weeks of unemployment benefits to individuals who have exhausted regular unemployment benefits under state or federal law or have no rights to regular unemployment benefits under state or federal law. The Floridians may be eligible for up to $275 plus $600 in weekly benefits. The additional $600 applies to weeks of unemployment beginning March 29th, according to FloridaJobs.org. The first week a claimant can be compensated on this benefit is the week beginning March 29th, and the last payable week is the week ending December 26th of this year. On Tuesday of this week, the Department of Equal Opportunity, or Employment Opportunity, rather, said in a news release, the state is now able to process those federal PEUC applications. And the website is FloridaJobs.org. Since March, more than 2 million unemployment claims have been filed in Florida. According to the DEO dashboard, the state has paid more than $4 billion to more than 1.1 million claimants as of June 2nd. We still don't know how many people are still trying to navigate the system, and we don't know how many people have been turned down unfairly. Well, if you want to talk about this, our phone number 813-239-9663, and our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Reading from the Tampa Bay Times, last night in Tampa in St. Petersburg, police dispersed crowds with force. In the heart of downtown, officers deployed non-lethal rounds, smoke grenades, and pepper canisters. Near St. Petersburg police headquarters, they used smoke and what appeared to be flashbangs. As the Tampa Bay Times reports, dozens of protesters fled, angry and screaming last night. Dozens were taken into custody. 23 were arrested in St. Petersburg. At least 60 were arrested in Tampa. Among the two briefly detained were two Tampa Bay Times reporters, one in each city. Clashes ended a day of largely peaceful demonstrations yesterday across the Bay Area. Protesters were in the streets in St. Petersburg, Tampa, Riverview, and Plant City in the afternoon. In St. Petersburg and Tampa, they continued into the evening. Last night, it was the eighth day since the death of George Floyd, the Minneapolis man whose murder at the hands of police, they say treatment at the Tampa Bay Times, whose treatment at the hands of police has sparked sustained international outrage. Here's some sound recorded by Tampa Bay Times reporter Luis Santana as police and protesters clashed in downtown Tampa last night.
A lot of people down. Hey, hey, where are you going? Go!
Get out of here!
You know
get
what I'm saying to you.
I hear you. I hear you.
Go!
I hear you.
Go!
I hear you.
Move!
You're not listening to me.
Go!
I'm moving back.
You're backing up for people. Move! Go faster. Going straight. Go faster. Turn around and go.
You've been told to leave.
Well, that was the sound of the streets of Tampa last night, as recorded by Tampa Bay Times reporter Luis Santana. He was on the streets as the police and demonstrators were clashing. As you heard, there was some pushback by the police toward Santana, the reporter. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And if you want to talk about any of these topics, you can call up at 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says Canadians are watching what's unfolding in the U.S. with horror and consternation. And he paused for 21 seconds yesterday when he was asked about President Trump and the use of tear gas against peaceful protesters in Washington, D.C. 2 days ago to clear the way for a Bible photo op on Monday for President Trump. Here's the Prime Minister of Canada answering a question about tear gassing peaceful protesters.
We've been reluctant to comment on the words and actions of the U.S. president, but we do have Donald Trump now calling for military action against protesters. We saw protesters tear gas yesterday to make way for a presidential photo op. I'd like to ask you what you think about that, and if you don't want to comment, what message do you think you're sending?
We all watch in horror and consternation what's going on in the United States.
That was Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau yesterday answering a question about the tear gassing of peaceful protesters in Washington, D.C. on Monday to make way for a photo op for the president. Our phone number is 813-239-9663, and our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Several emails have come in already. Let's see, this one says, it's from Mike. Mike says, protests against racism and Trump go hand in hand. They feed into each other. One drives the other. Our unlawful and disorder president, Archie Bunker, should stay in the basement of the White House. Writes Mike in St. Pete. And then Doug in Clearwater writes, everyone wants to die in their sleep, but not the way that Ken Chamberlain, Botham Jean, and Breonna Taylor died. Tough job for the good cops, I assume, so time to change the system. That's Doug's email. Jack writes this, the protests we're seeing on a daily basis should be harnessed in the coming election. The only way we can have any meaningful change will be to have a complete sweep of all three houses this coming November 3rd. The power of the vote is still the best way to show those sitting in the House and the Senate that blindly follow a psychopath will put them at risk of losing their seats, writes Jack. And then David writes this about unemployment. It's shameful how diabolical the Florida GOP has been with this terrible unemployment system. It was designed to frustrate and not help. And the frustration algorithm built into the system is intentional and illegal. I hope that voters remember this at the ballot box. Vote these bums out. That's David's email. There's a video making the rounds, and I'm going to play it right now. This is from an actress who was confronting some members of the National Guard. This was in Los Angeles on Tuesday. The actor's name is Kiki Palmer. She's in Hustlers. And she urged members of the National Guard to be the change and make history by marching with her group of protesters during a demonstration on Tuesday. Let's listen to what the actress, Kiki Palmer, told soldiers who were in the streets of Los Angeles just 2 days ago.
Saying once the looting starts, the shooting starts. You have a president talking about the Second Amendment as a use for people to come out here and use firearms against the people that are protesting. This is the messages that we're seeing. I don't know if you on social media because the news don't tell you everything. But you have to pay attention to what's going on, or else we have a president that's trying to incite a race war. And when the borders are closed, we can't leave. You have people in here that need your help. This is when you and y'all stand together with the community, with society, to stop the governmental oppression. Period. We need you. So then march with us. March beside us. You get your people. Y'all march beside us. March beside us. March beside us. Let the revolution be televised. March beside us and show us that you're here for us.
Make history
with us. Please. Let's just do it. March with us. We start marching. You march with us. Please.
Just do it.
Do it. Just come on. Be the change. Be the change. Do it. Do it. Do it. Please. Do it. Please. We are your people. March with us.
I can't leave this post. I will march through this street with you guys to that next intersection.
I don't know.
This intersection to that intersection, but I have to control this area.
Control.
What are you controlling?
What is it to control, man? March with us. It was send a huge message. We just march. Just march with us. March the whole round with us. March you and your men. Y'all protect us. Protect us. Y'all march with us. March around like we just did. Do that march with us. Y'all stand beside us. No, you don't, because you're the protector. So if you can't patrol yourself, if it's you that's supposed to be patrolling us, then walk with us.
I'm also protecting some of these businesses.
Okay.
Well, can you do me a favor? Can you do me a favor? Can you take a kneel?
Absolutely.
Can you take a kneel?
I don't know. They ain't enough for me.
That's all.
They ain't enough for me.
Let's all do it together.
You get good for
it,
guys. Take a knee.
Let's all do it together.
Boy, on the back, take a knee. Take a knee.
You stand with us. We're taking you with us.
Come on. Thank you. Mark with us.
All All right, that was Tuesday in Los Angeles, where the actress Kiki Palmer is asking a group of heavily armed National Guards men, and it looks like it's all men, to march with them in a peaceful protest in Los Angeles. And the National Guard, the lead guy, says, I can only march with you for a block. And then Palmer and one of the other people suggest, well, can you take a knee for us in the mode of Colin Kaepernick? And several guardsmen comply and get down on one knee, which is the sign of a protest that Colin Kaepernick got in so much trouble for. So there's somebody trying to appeal to the better instincts of the National Guard and not support the president. Of course, I think it's hard for anybody in the military not to support the president, but she's urging the Guard not to turn on the people of Los Angeles. What do you think? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Margaret in Tampa for our first call today. Hi, Margaret. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just want to make a comment about another disgusting thing that Mr. Donald Trump is doing when he used the Word of God to, for his benefit, his political benefit, to do a photo op. If you're going to have the Bible, you need to know what it says in there, and you need to do what it says, which he is not doing. So I think it's very disgusting.
Margaret, when you saw the president hold the Bible the way he did on Monday, what did you think? Did you think that he had been to church much?
Even if it's not about going to church, because there are a lot of evil devils go to church. You got to know what the Word of God says, and you got to obey it daily. You can't be a hypocrite, which is what he is. And that doesn't impress me by seeing him hold the Bible, because that doesn't mean anything. I see what he's doing. You know them by their fruit, and his fruit are rotten.
There are some church people, Billy Graham's son, Jerry Falwell's son, Jerry Falwell Jr., they support the president. They like everything he does. I think Pat Robertson had some criticism of him last night. But many of the people that we see on TV who are religious leaders in this country, they support whatever the president does.
And it's disgusting that they do. And I put them in the same category as I put him. You need to know what the Word of God teaches, and then you will know the hypocrites. And all of those you name don't do what the Bible says completely. They may say a few little things here and there, but my study of the Word of God and my study of them shows me that they are in the same boat as Mr. Donald Trump. Hypocrites.
Margaret, thanks a lot. Thanks for starting the conversation.
Okay,
you take care. Thank you, Margaret. 813-239-9663. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Let's go to Rob in Thanota, Sassa. Hey, Rob, you're on. What's got you interested?
Well, you know, that last clip you played, I have to say, the National Guardsmen and the protesters reminded me of Tiananmen Square when that first round of tanks came in and the people spoke to the people, the soldiers in the tanks, and they actually were able to kind of get them on their side. And of course, they sent tanks from another region later that they didn't speak the same dialect. But that's a damn shame that, you know, we have that kind of thing happening in this country. But addressing the whole issue of how we got to this place, there's always been a problem with policing in black areas. But I think when you had this sort of militarization of the police, which I suppose started maybe in the 80s, but yeah, I remember the first time I got pulled over for a traffic ticket, and instead of a guy, you know, wearing a blue shirt and a white hat, you know, the guy looked like he was on a SWAT team. He had a black jacket on and his pants tucked into these military combat boots. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, and after 9/11, it especially got that way. And I think what that does is, instead of being there to serve and protect, which they still have written, I believe, on the side of police cars in Tampa, there's this thing where it's, you know, like really we're an occupying force in a foreign nation. And instead of looking at the people that they're out there patrolling as citizens, fellow citizens, it's almost like it's like a foreign enemy or something that, you know, we're patrolling like you're in Iraq or Afghanistan. You know, and many of these officers in there are from they're veterans, you know, and they've maybe been in combat, and I'm not sure that they don't carry over that mentality where, you know, really we're occupying a hostile territory.
Rob, what do you make of President Trump's Defense Secretary Mark Esper saying this week that when talking about the cities of America, he calls them the battle space, when you've got the chief of the Pentagon describing America's cities as battle space?
Well, it's disturbing, you know, because that's not how we should look at it. And most people, I think, don't agree with looting and think it's counterproductive. And I do too. And I think it has to be stopped, or it's going to undermine the whole legitimacy of the protests, at least somewhat, you know. But to look at cities as battlegrounds, again, it's an extension of what I said. You know, this idea that, you know, and this is how civil wars start, and this is how destabilization starts. You know, you can't. I mean, I think it's very encouraging where you see these officers and local sheriffs and now even National Guardsmen, you know, sort of showing camaraderie or unity with the real protesters, you know. But, this has got to resolve it. But I do think they have to go in to these police departments and root out these bad apples, you know, because I understand they pay a lot of money for the training and, you know, they want to keep morale up, because if cops feel, you know, every time they have to arrest someone and use force, they're going to be fired or prosecuted. Now, that is a morale issue, and it's very difficult, you know, and you don't want to lose officers, but I think maybe they have to have a higher bar, kind of, you know. I think in the federal, you know, marshal system, they have a higher bar, they get paid more, but they have a higher bar of who qualifies to be a police officer, and, you know, maybe that's where it has to start, to sort of weed out these people who don't need to be, who have these sort of borderline personalities. You know?
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, Rob, thanks a lot. Thanks for making the statement. Good to hear from you. Just going back to this question about how the head of the Pentagon views America's cities, I'm reading from the ABC News website. In a call with President Trump and governors on Monday, a recording which was obtained by ABC News, Esper urged states to, quote, dominate the battle space so that civil unrest dissipates and we can get back to the right normal. Do you want the military in your city? And is that the way to deal with what's going on? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Joe in Clearwater. Joe, thank you for calling. What's up?
Hello. This is Joe from Clearwater. I think that those cops, the four cops originally that were at the scene that murdered that guy, ought to be on trial for murder. I guess they can't get him for premeditated murder because it probably happened on a scene, but they definitely are all guilty, all three of them. Secondly, I think that guardsmen should be commiserating with the protesters. I thought of going to Tampa myself and, you know, for a peaceful protest, but I didn't do it because I knew that, you know, later on it would turn into bottle throwing and brick throwing and stuff, and I didn't want any part of that. As far as sending National Guard or troops in to quell that kind of violence, if the cops can't handle it, we can't, you know, just say, okay, throw bottles, throw rocks, throw bricks, break into businesses, and, you know, that has to be stopped. If the cops can't stop it and they need help, well, yeah, get the help. Get the guard in there, and guard can't handle it, get the troops in there just to stop that. But everybody should be on the side of, you know, this brutality has to stop. It's just got to stop. We can't put up with that. Those guys need to be put in jail. I'd hope they'd put them in jail in general population and let the population deal with them.
Mm. All right, Joe, thanks a lot. Joe, thank you. Thank you for giving us those ideas. Martin in Palm Harbor writes, today I saw a white male about the age of 70 on a motorcycle with a Confederate flag in full display. Not the first time, of course, but right now it's an especially racist statement, in my opinion. Martin goes on to write, I know it's free speech, but to me it's also un-American and unpatriotic. Basically, he's saying he doesn't accept that we are one nation, writes Martin in Palm Harbor. 813-239-9663. Lou in Tampa writes, I'm hopeful that we can move forward, but it will be extremely difficult. I think that before we move forward, the painful, hurtful past that brought us here must be examined and addressed. This is more than a police problem. This goes to the entire racist basis of America. It seems that the entire fabric of the country is in shreds, exposing the greed and hypocrisy that underlies modern life, writes Lou in Tampa. Kevin writes this, if hypocrisy had a smell, gas masks would be required before listening to God's chosen one, more like the golden calf to me, writes Kevin. And then Tony in St. Pete writes, Senator Marco Rubio, who supposedly represents Floridians, defended Trump's use of federal troops to quiet the peaceful demonstrators near the White House on Monday evening. Yet Rubio, for years, made a main theme in attacking Cuba's human rights record and preventing any rapprochement with Cuba. The rest of the world now doesn't see us as any better, writes Tony in St. Petersburg. Yeah, so anytime troops are used to put down protesters in other countries, especially conservative countries. So you've got people like Marco Rubio. Well, especially in liberal countries, you've got Marco Rubio complaining about that. That's really true. He doesn't seem to complain when the troops are used in conservative countries. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Jonathan, who's in Lake Mary. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. What's up?
Hey, I just got a couple things. I think one is very sad that more than one person, maybe three, videotaped that murder, and nobody had the guts or the backbone to risk their own life to save that gentleman, first of all. And I share that openly with everybody. At some point, the community and the people have to take matters. You know, somebody said, oh, there's no more John Wayne's left. Well, it's not about being John Wayne. It's about just being a human being and doing the right thing. And if the guy committing the murder just happens to be a police officer, well, that doesn't matter. Then somebody should have to step in and just go back to being brave and get off the sidelines about, I don't want to be involved. I think that's a big situation. And then the other thing, as a Christian, I feel bad when other Christians talk so bad about the president, no matter who he is, if it was Barack or Bush or Trump. You know, in First Peter, it says very clearly, all authority, no matter if you like it or not, is given by God. And we are to respect the authority. And when you have an underlying issue of disrespect for authority from the top down, we'll never be unified.
Jonathan, let me ask you, though, do you think that your Bible teaches you that you should respect authority, even if that authority is evil?
The only thing the Bible says, and it's very clear, the only time you're supposed to disobey Caesar, so to speak, that's what it says in the Bible. The only time you're supposed to disobey the law of the land is when it violates the law of God.
And so if you're president or your leader, your prime minister, or whoever your leader is in your country, if they're becoming a dictator, or in the case of Adolf Hitler, were a dictator, what the Bible says, you've got to respect that leader?
Yeah, the Bible says unless they violate the law of God and restrict what God tells you to do as a Christian, then unfortunately, yes, it's a hard pill to swallow. But everybody, and that lady earlier, you know, based on her voice, I think she was older than me, but I'm not being disrespectful by saying that. But, you know, she's talking about her Bible. Well, there's only one Bible, and it's the Bible from God. And unfortunately, it's a hard pill to swallow. You can't cherry pick the Bible.
And Jonathan, would you think that there might be other Christians that think differently and read the Bible differently than you do? Or is yours the only way to read the Bible?
No, it's not. And that's what I'm saying. We have to start understanding each other. Understand why you think the way you think. Why do I think the way I think? We're never going to be able to get along and come to love. I mean, the Bible preaches peace. As Christians, we are supposed to be peacemakers. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love and peace.
And Jonathan, when Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple and he stood up to authority there, was Jesus doing wrong?
No, he didn't stand up to authority. See, that's taken out of context. Jesus flipped the money changer over because he was driving them out of the temple because they made the holy temple a place, a den of thieves, a place to exchange money. That has nothing to do with protesting.
But they were in charge of the temple at the time. They were the ones that were in charge of the temple at the time.
Right. Yeah. That scripture right there has nothing to do with civil protest.
Okay. All right. So Jesus was not protesting there in the temple. All right, Jonathan. Thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Mateo in Tampa. Hi, Mateo. You're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Hi. A little response on what the other gentleman was saying. I mean, it's taking away kids from their parents, not against God, or is killing people not against God?
I think he's saying that if the leader does it, you got to go with it. I think that's the way Jonathan was reading his Bible.
Absolutely. But anyway, other than that, I just instead wanted to say how hypocrite it is, in my opinion, that, you know, peaceful protesters are sent away with tear gas and shot out with rubber bullets. And instead, when right-wing groups occupy federal land with guns, it's their right to do so. It's just, this is, again, shows the double standard we have, you know, in between our country, like between right-wing activists and instead left-wing, they're seen as thugs as soon as they try to, fight for their right. That's all. It's just...
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Mateo. And I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. What happens to peaceful protesters who are just being peaceful? What happens to them when they're shot by police? I'm going to try to do that topic tomorrow. Mateo, thanks a lot. Yeah. That's all right. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Jim writes this, if the president and the Republican Party allowed national voting by mail and the returning ballots required two stamps to be mailed, the U.S. Post Office would be fully funded in less than two election cycles and would prove Benjamin Franklin was right. The U.S. Post Office is essential to a growing American democracy and to our people raising themselves to the middle class through working there, writes Jim. Jim, thank you for that. 813-239-9663. Steve writes this, is your broadcast down? I have no radio signal on 88.5 FM on my radio. Just fuzz, writes Steve. Steve, I hope that's not true. We're still getting a bunch of calls. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Patty in Sarasota. Patty, what would you like to say?
Boy, there's so much. The last gentleman, I think, needs to reflect on the fact that you can respect your leaders, but you must call them out, so to speak, on what they're doing against Jesus. There's lying. There's a lot of things Trump has done, and I'm so glad Robertson finally, too little too late, actually made an honest critique of him. If they had all been doing that before, I don't know if it would have influenced Trump and put some fear in him. That he had a, you know, shaky support, but it might have helped. And I also think that this gentleman needs to also look at the scripture where Jesus said, be aware, Satan often comes as an angel of light. So you may think you have this beatific leader, and even when he shows evidence to the contrary, you don't have the heart and spirit to see it because it's almost like a spiritual embarrassment and humiliation that you are wrong. And it's a very cowardly thing. You need to have courage to go, oh my gosh, perhaps I was wrong. Lord, give me wisdom. So there are Christians out there, I hate to say it, that are being very impotent and having that view, and that's why we have trouble.
Yeah, you know, I often think of that line, whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do unto me. If President Trump is mistreating people or allowing people to be mistreated, is that something that... people of faith think is okay? And if you think it's okay to tear gas peaceful protesters on Monday so you can do a photo op with the Bible, if as that caller Jonathan said, we just got to respect our leaders, it would seem that there are many contradictory passages in the Bible, and if you pick and choose, you can always find one that supports your side.
Well, they're also deifying him. And that's a problem, too, with Christians, because they do see him as a savior. And when they get so angry, if you try to discuss your view with them as a fellow believer, and they get very defensive and close up, it's because, basically, they've let their heart and soul be hijacked. And it's very scary. He has a gift. He's charismatic. He has an emotional IQ gift. And he has used it. As Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord. And I'm thinking he's serving the devil right now. And it's very scary. And a guy on Fox, actually made a statement to the British man, I don't know his name, the newscaster who seems to worship Trump, that he had no problem with Trump marching over there holding the Bible, except here was his problem. He said he should have called community leaders. He should have said, we're going in to pray together. Or he should have cited a scripture and then said, let's come into this church and pray about this situation. He said he would have been fine with that.
Yeah, all right. Patty, thanks a lot. I'm surprised. I mean, every time I watch Fox, I never see anybody who's critical of the president. Mike in St. Pete writes, cops should not be immune to the law. When you are complicit in murder, you should be held accountable like anyone else, regardless of your job, writes Mike. Terry writes this, I saw the Secretary of Defense denying the tear gas and bullets were used before the photo op, writes Terry. Terry, thank you for that. Elio writes this, behavior is actually historic for the Republican Party. Hoover sent National Guard troops on veterans suffering under the Depression. Many died. The Republicans then, as the Republicans now, have always leaned towards fascism. Yeah, there was a famous bonus march of World War II veterans, and maybe that did happen under Hoover. That was certainly put down pretty dramatically. Let's go back to the phones, and thanks for listening to 88.5 FM. Let's go to Jeanette in Gulfport. Hi, Jeanette. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hi. Hold on. My dog's going nuts. What I want to say is that if they want to curb the protesters, they don't need the military. They need to charge the other three officers, and they need to give the main guy, who's been charged with first-degree murder charges.
You think that would calm things down? Yeah.
Well, I mean, if they're not going to do anything except give a very, very low, like manslaughter is like saying it was an accident.
Jeanette, if you were standing around kind of covering up something that was a police officer kneeling on somebody, and if you were kind of protecting that officer and observing and not interfering, let's say it wasn't a police officer. Let's say that it was just a barroom fight. Not that you'd ever get involved in a barroom fight, but there was a guy kneeling over a guy, and the guy had his knee on the guy's neck, and the guy on the ground died, and you were around protecting the guy who was kneeling on the guy's neck. What would happen to you if you were a civilian?
Probably nothing if you were a civilian, because I don't know if we have any law that says you have to jump in and save someone's life. But if you're a police officer and you're watching a fellow police officer doing something egregious, why wouldn't you do something about it?
Okay. Jeanette, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
All right. Good to hear from you. And let's go to Mary in Land O'Lakes. Mary, you're on. What would you like to say?
I was just wondering if you thought there was a small glimmer of hope for this country with Steve King losing his primary yesterday.
Well, he is certainly the most out white nationalist in Congress, although I'm sure there's a bunch of closet cases in Congress of white nationalism. I have faith in the American people. I don't think, you know, and some people are going to disagree with me, but I don't think the majority of people are racist, and I don't think the majority of people are haters, and I don't think the majority of people think that the only part of the Constitution that counts is the Second Amendment. I think we have a pretty smart populace, and I have faith in the American people. They may veer off the track occasionally, but I think they get back on track. And voting a white nationalist out of Congress, that's good. That's a good thing.
I just thought it was a very small glimmer of hope that people are actually paying attention and realizing who should be in office and who shouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, anybody that holds racist beliefs, I mean, in this day and age, there's no place for them in Congress, is there? I certainly don't think so. Let's go to Karen in Tampa. Karen, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. This whole previous discussion just shows, again, the problem of using religion, you know, in running a country or in living your life. It's nonsense. You can, and ever since it was invented, people have been using it as an excuse for doing bad things. Slavery, oppressing women, killing other religions. I mean, you'd be better off using Harry Potter as your basis for your religion. It's complete nonsense, and it's been nothing but misused for trouble and problems and horror.
Yeah, and Karen, you're absolutely right. In the 1960s, there were white ministers in the South who justified slavery and justified the maltreatment of African Americans by using the Bible. And yeah, you are absolutely right. So many people are hooked on the Bible, though, Karen.
I can't. My only explanation for that is stupidity. Actually, there is a better explanation. People are terrified of having to live their life and make their decisions on their own, because it's a big, scary world. So when you get too old for your parents to do it for you, to take care of you and protect you, they want something else. And so they invent God. It's like a surrogate parent to tell you what to do, because they're terrified of making their own decisions. That's my explanation.
All right, Karen, thanks a lot. Thanks for your views. And we have had a lot of views here to this morning. And let's go to Neil in St. Pete. Hi, Neil. You're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. I just wanted to point out, I think in most states, if I walk into a convenience store with three friends and one of them decided to pull out a gun and I had no idea to rob the place and shot and killed the clerk, I'm pretty sure in most states all four people are charged as accomplices.
And they would be rounded up pretty quickly.
They
would not be out on the street.
Surveillance tape, and maybe probably within 24 hours, all four of them would be sitting behind bars waiting to be charged.
I think that is what happens to civilians, and I think that's why there's so much outrage in Minneapolis and around the country, is that if a civilian were to do the same thing, they would not be walking free.
Yeah, if it's the law, it's the law. Same thing if you drive up and you're a bunch of friends in a car and one runs into a bank or whatever and says you got to cash a check and you want to be, everyone in that car is charged with the bank robbery.
Yeah, you're an accomplice.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Neil. All right. We're going to go back to the phones in a second, but Patrick writes this. It would be nice if the government would offer to have a commission or panel to investigate and offer to start to fix racism, which is prevalent in America, especially in police systems. It would be a good start, and if truly dedicated, could help end this endless cycle. Violence either way is not the answer, writes Patrick. There was a commission that was tasked to do that in the late 1960s. It was the Kerner Commission. And if you look at the Kerner Commission and what it suggested after the uprisings in 67 and 68, you'll find that even though the document is old, a lot of the suggestions in it are pretty good. But Patrick, you're right. Maybe we need a modern commission to look at that. But for folks who have time, look up Kerner Commission, K-E-R-N-E-R. I think it was Otto Kerner, the former governor of Illinois. Lots of people writing in to say the air signal is good, so that's good to know. Let's go back to the phones and to John in Tampa. John, you're on MNF. What's up?
Yes, sir. I respond to the caller who was saying that in the Bible we have to obey the law of the land.
Obey the leaders.
Yeah, I wonder if that man's ever heard of a guy named Jesus Christ, who was murdered because of his rebellion against the rule of his land.
I don't know. He's not here to tell us. I'm sure he's heard of him. But I think in some churches they do teach that you must follow the leader, absolutely. And I think other churches have different teachings. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Jesus Christ himself rebelled against the rule of his land.
Yeah, I always think of Jesus as a long-haired radical socialist Jew. That's when I think of Jesus, that's what I think he was standing up for. All right. All right. John, thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. Well, if you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115, and I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Thanks for listening. This is WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori. And coming up in the next hour, we're going to hear the Tom Hartman radio program. We've had so many emails, a lot of people saying that the signal is clear. John writes this to the guy who said, that's the guy who just called. Let's see. Lots of people saying that they're getting the signal well. I'm going to just end it at that, and we're going to turn it over to the NPR News, and then stick around because there's a progressive call-in.